Triple M's Big Breakfast for Australia's biggest ever bike sale at Team Moto Motorcycles. Save up to $7,000 on over 250 models of bikes. TeamMoto.com.au.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe as well. It's wonderful having Limo fill in for Moon Man today.
Yeah, what a nice guy. Apparently had Moon in the back of his car in the boot.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Escaped in the end, though.
Whatever's required. Yeah.
Classic Moon.
Talk about escape. I love when he was telling us how his old man had been 33 years to exactly the same caravan park, same site, everything, and didn't people buy into that one?
I know, except it was in Adelaide. None of us actually pulled him up on that.
No.
Like, Adelaide.
Yeah, yeah, but that's where he grew up, on a farm near there.
No, he grew up in South Australia. Anyway, Ian Healy. We love Heels. He chatted to us about the cricket.
He chatted to us about everything, including car washing. So he once worked 4 hours in a row. Incredible. Back-to-back 4 hours, I'm talking.
And also got your ruling about your P-plate drivers driving us, you, home.
It'll never work.
Yes, indeed. Moon back tomorrow. For the meantime, enjoy Limo filling in for him.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
You can almost smell the Christmas holidays from here, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And I know, Robin, what are you up to?
I'm heading off to America for my honeymoon with Sean and I and seven of our children and girlfriends.
Wow, that's an ambitious project.
That is one hell of a romantic honeymoon you've Woo-hoo! Got planned there. Yeah. Marto, what are you up to?
Doing what I always do, go to Moreton Island for a few weeks.
Right. Well, you might be able to sympathise then with my family arrangement. I'm going to take you back to January 1978 when I was growing up on a farm in country South Australia and my dad hooked the Millard caravan up to the back of the XC Falcon,
loaded
us kids in the back, and we drove 4 hours to Adelaide. He drove through the streets of Adelaide to the West Beach Caravan Park. He reversed the van into place at site Y32. We pulled the annex out, dusted it off, flicked out the redback spiders, attached it to the side of the van. We had a great little holiday. Loved it so much, in fact, that my mum and dad did that exact same holiday at the West Beach Caravan Park every January from 1978 to 2011.
Oh, is that 33 years?
What happened in 2011 that dad stopped?
Yeah.
They just got a bit too old, to be honest, then. But I am happy to say that my oldest brother, Bernie, and his wife and their three kids started going there to West Beach Caravan Park in 1992. And still go there to this day.
But he was involved 78 to 92 as well, the bro.
Of course, yes.
That's so much fun. I'm going to do the same thing with my family.
Yeah, why not? And
that's like a family illness.
Does he live in country Adelaide too, like your brother? Or
Yes. So we all lived out in the country there. And I remember saying to Dad, why do we go back here each year? And Dad said, why would you change? This is fine. And I just love that that's the benchmark.
Hold on. Would he have been one of those guys, Limo? And I've seen him. I remember my old man down the Gold Coast. We'd always stay at Mermaid Beach. Hedges Avenue used to be old six-pack flats. We used to stay at one of them. And every year, he would go to the real estate agency, drop the keys off, and book for the next year. Was this where your dad was?
So we would be driving out of the caravan park, and Dad would pull over, and he would go into the office and book next year. Because God forbid someone would get in ahead of us. You know, 1 year, because we were in site Y32 every year. 1 year, there was an administrative stuff-up, and we ended up in site Y28.
Oh,
and we were discombobulated for the first 10 days of our stay. We're all over the place.
Every day, like, and then every year.
You'd go down to the beach. Yeah. Or, you know, I got lost 1 year when I was five. I think I was five. And I seriously questioned how hard Mum and Dad looked for me, because I was lost for 6 hours. And when I was eventually found, I was in the playground. So after 6 hours, I thought, oh, we'll have a look at the playground. Oh, there he is. You just go to the beach. I know Mum and Dad used to go to a pub every year for a counter meal. This was a big event for them.
1 day of the holidays, they'd go and have a countery.
They'd go and have a counter meal, and there was a McDonald's over the road. So us kids would be sent to get our own Maccas and play in the McDonald's playground.
Oh, this is too good.
For 3 or 4 hours while they sat in the pub and had a counter meal and a few drinks.
There are a number of people who do this. If you actually keep going and doing the same holiday over and over again, because, you know, what's the caravan park up at Maroochydore? There's two.
Cotton Tree.
You cannot get into it. Ian of Albany Creek, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, where's it been to, mate, and how long?
Okay, it's my in-laws. They've been going to Rainbow Beach for the last 37 years.
Wow. Caravanning?
yeah, caravanning. And my wife's one of six kids, so all the kids, you know, 37 years ago went along, And over the years, all the six kids, we all go to Rainbow Beach every September. And we've been going for 20 years. And on the same site every year. Oh, and, mate, yeah. We wouldn't go anywhere else. Mate, I've actually resigned from a job because they wouldn't let me have holidays to go to Rainbow Beach. Oh,
that is commitment right there. And Ian, if you keep passing this down the line and you'll have more and more kids, eventually your family will own that entire park for your stay.
Well, mate, it's the same booking and they just go, here come the hedges again. Like, it's just every year. And, mate, there was one year, I think, with all the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids, there was 43 or 44 of us there one weekend.
That's a goodie.
And mate, it's just the best place in Australia.
So. Oh, love. Sure is one of the greats.
And that's where family memories are made,
caravan.
Rachel.
This is all about caravanning, isn't it? What about Rachel?
Rachel Caboolture, hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Good. Where have your parents been holidaying?
For the last 20-odd years, we've been going to Evans Head in just northern New South Wales,
great,
which is about
joy.
A three-hour drive.
Yeah.
My daughter and I just got back from being down there a week, and my parents are still down there at the minute for the next week. And the whole extended family usually come down for a whole weekend or a few days.
So, caravan?
Initially, it was caravan up camping, and then we found a holiday house that was actually cheaper in the long run for us to stay in for 2 weeks.
But you love Evans Head, hey?
Massively. We do the fishing, we do the surfing, we do the paddleboarding.
So beautiful.
All of it.
Yeah, good place. Just south of Ballina, everyone.
I was going to say where exactly. So, Mark, Brendale, morning.
How you going? Yeah, I had an auntie and uncle for about 30 years, 8 weeks a year. They'd tow a caravan with their HR Holden from the Grange to Scarborough on Redcliffe.
That's 20, 33 kilometres.
And cost 10 cents each way on the bridge.
Oh, God, when he's out of time.
God. Oh, that is great.
How long did they stay at Scarborough for?
Eight weeks, did he say?
8 weeks, yeah, over Christmas.
I hear people do this and then they go, well, the van is stuffed now. We'll just leave it on site. Has they ever thought about that?
No. He always took it home, put it back in the garage.
Oh, yeah. God.
There's not even surf at Scarborough.
No. Catch a cab to your holiday.
Hey, if you forget something, you can duck home and grab it.
Triple M.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
Yeah, this started 2 weeks ago when we heard about little three-year-old Henry. Parents thought he had the flu, ended up with this debilitating illness that has left him on a ventilator in a wheelchair. His parents really needed some help with their house. But this is the story so far. Let's start with Henry's mum, Jeannie.
Henry was a healthy, happy three-year-old, contracted a chest infection, and then he started having seizures on the fourth day. Lost the ability to breathe.
You've left your country home for good and you've bought a place in Brisbane. And you need what stuff done?
So we need ramp built so he can have access to the house and a big open bathroom so that we can get him into the shower within his shower chair.
Okay.
It'll be fantastic to get him home.
And that's where Marto and his group of amazing people come in.
Oh, amazing people, all right. We started demo, met Roger, who's been the most valuable bloke, project manager. He's there every morning.
An engineer would be really what we need at the moment.
Hey, Mike, you might be able to help us, eh?
Yeah, so we're MJR building approvals. Just this bathroom would have to be getting up 15, 20K. Got the plasters here now. Just this PVC cladding, perhaps just a colour steel or colour bond or something like that, and perhaps we just have someone who could stock some of that.
Calvin from Cal's Construction. Early Bird Steel supplied the steel for the beam. Dave from Mitre 10 Bean Lee has donated the bathroom cabinet. Height for Hire are donating a front-loading washing machine and dryer.
Corey from Blackout Electrical Solutions.
We've got a young girl, she's 14 months old, and it's just pulled on the heartstrings with the wife, and she comes on the blower straight away and wants to contribute.
So, Jeannie, you've been to the house twice now. What did you think? What were your first impressions?
Oh, just too many tears. Absolutely blown away. Like, we could have never pulled any of this off. Like, it was just amazing. I just couldn't believe it.
I know we gave a fair few people a rap there, but you've got to keep on going.
Yeah,
our useful listeners are either supplied Limo, it's been quite amazing, or they've done all the work, whether it's Tim from Claymore Contractors or Brett, who's been a labourer, been there every day. He also does grouting, but he's been waiting to do that. and helping everyone. Viking Rentals, you know, Brisbane Posts and Beams, Reece Plumbing. It's been so many people. We'll keep on going down through the list. But one I do want to thank is, and he rang up and he said, hey, listen, you need a roof on that slab. And we sure did, or we didn't know who to ask. And I said, well, we might let Jeannie find her own later on because it's too hard. But this bloke said it's not too hard. Lysart came out and they have finished. Well, let's talk to the ambassador, Gordy Tallis.
Good morning, guys.
Have we sent you a photo of what you got initiated with this roof? It's been incredible.
Yeah, Jason from Lysart sent it. Obviously, they were sort of, Marta, they asked me could I go in there and help. I think on Friday it was going up, it was going to get finished, and I thought I'd stay away because I wanted the professionals there. But look, they sent me some photos. It looks amazing, doesn't it?
Thank you for getting them underway, mate. They really needed that roof, not only the sun, but also when it rains to get young Henry out of the car, out of the bus. So. Yeah. Oh, mate.
Gordy, would you be any good on tools? Just asking.
I'm okay. Oh, look, I'm okay probably more around the garden. Robin, you know, the stuff that doesn't need any skill set, you know, like just sort of lawn mowing, whippersnipping, weeding, using the blower. I'm really good at the blower because I didn't like the broom because I got too many blisters, but I'm okay.
No. But Gordy, soon after we're about to go to traffic, et cetera, but we're about to talk about the Titans, who you love.
Yeah.
Have you seen their initiative, what's happening today, actually in all this week?
No, I haven't. What are we doing?
Well, the Gold Coast, what are we doing? The Gold Coast, every single one of their contracted players, 31 of them, have to go and work as a all day, every day for 4 days this week and go to training each night. How's that? Labor.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, look, we know that Melbourne Storm have been doing that, obviously not with the Cameron Smiths and the Billy Slaters, but they would have did it when they were a kid. But a lot of clubs do it, and basically when you're on the job site, you're not the boss, and to see what it's like in the real world, Marto, because sometimes when you play sport and you think everything's bad or whatever and you get out there and, you know, and especially the guys that come and buy your ticket and expect you to perform, well, they're the guys that you're going to be on a job site with. So, like, it's good. And I just know with the Melbourne Storm, it's not sort of how hard they work because most blokes are pretty fit and they work really hard and they get into it. But it's, you know, what they're like, you know, at morning tea and lunchtime, whether they, you know, sit on their phone or interact with the guys and all that kind of stuff. So you find out a lot about the person, and obviously the Titans are going to do that for the next 4 weeks, which I find fantastic. I think it's because that's how we all come through the system, Marto. So
had a job.
Something old is new again, yes.
Beautiful. Thanks for everything, mate.
Although, is that workplace power structure slightly undermined when the boss asks his employee for an autograph during morning tea?
Or free tickets.
Yeah. Thanks for your help, Gordon Tallis. Cheers, and follow the progress at our Facebook page and triplem.com.au. Getting Henry home for Christmas. Big breakfast, Triple M.
Missed the cricket last night. Virat Kohli saved India. The last two balls they got up. So it's 1-1, the end of that T20, and the test matches are about to come. But the man who knows more about cricket than any of us, that's for sure, is Australia's greatest ever wicket keeper. Is that right?
Well, it is when we're talking
Ian
to
him. Healy.
Yes. Robin, that's very bad.
No.
Heels. Thank you very much,
Marto. Hey, tell Heels who we spoke to last week.
Oh, we talked to Rod Marsh, Heels.
Oh, righto. And you called him the greatest wicketkeeper ever.
Well, no, we did notice that he, do you know what? He's never had any broken fingers.
Mm. No, but he used to get real nodules on his tendons just at the base of his fingers. So he had big, thick fingers. He's got massive billiard table legs. So I reckon his fingers are just...
They were short and stumpy. But then we were talking, because Robin and I know your fingers look like road maps. Now, we're talking about you, and he said, well, quite clearly he wasn't catching them cleanly.
No, that's correct. And I caught them. They just went cleanly.
Yeah. Right. You didn't drop the ball, and that's the important thing, Hills.
Hills, priority.
What about Adam Gilchrist's fingers? How do they go?
He's got sort of turned up ones. He's got weird fingers. The bottom joint, you know, and the fingernail turn up. I don't think it's to do with wicketkeeping, but, you know, he's just built badly.
Wow, he's got talon fingers.
Slagging it.
Scored a lot more runs than you did.
He could do a Balinese dance. You know, he opens up his hands and the fingers go backwards.
Spirit fingers. All right.
Hey, Heels. All right. We'll forget about last night's T20. You know, it ended up 1-1 draw. Doesn't really matter. But talk about your niece, Alicia Healy, player of the champion, player of the World Cup over in the West Indies. Have you heard anything from her or do you just watch from afar?
No, just been contacting her, but just via text and little messages here and there. I'm hoping she did a glovey last night. So, you know, the Ricardo Chewy, she does the glovey. She invented the glovey in the last, I don't know what they won, something big, and she did a glovey.
A glovey, that's great.
So I'd like some vision of that if that happened. But, yeah, the girls were great, mate. They're an inspirational squad. They are real role models. There's girls everywhere around cricket grounds now really loving the game, and it's a lot to do with this squad that is still pretty young, but they've been together for 10 years. So they sort of turned the corner again. They've won about 6 World Cups together, those girls, but they've lost their last two. They were real keen yesterday.
They're the best thing that's happening to Australian cricket at the moment, Hills. And your niece concussed herself against India. That was an awkward one where she ran into someone else trying to take a catch. But she obviously fronted up all right after that, passed the concussion test, thankfully. Did you ever have a run-in with the teammate out on the ground, Hills?
No, but we had a massive collision between Jason Gillespie and Stephen Waugh. They both ended up in hospital in Sri Lanka. So Elisa sort of got called into that catch and didn't understand, didn't know or see that the bowler was going for it as well. And then the side of her face hit the left shoulder of Megan Schutt and she went down and got real lucky. Between that game and the semi-final, there was 5 days. If there was 4 days or less, she would have been ruled out immediately. So she got really lucky.
Heels, can I just check, for all the kids listening, young cricketers listening, doesn't the keeper always overrule any other fieldsman if they want to catch it?
Yeah, and they both got it wrong. They both had eyes for the ball. The bowler, it was coming almost straight to the bowler. And Elisa sort of thought, well, I should go for it, but I better go hard. So she was hearing and it was a big collision. But it was a good win by the girls. They flogged in England really yesterday. They didn't field very well. They made some errors in the field and dropped some catches, missed some runouts, kept them to 105 and chased them down really easily. So great job. Well done.
Hey, Heels, completely off cricket, but we're going to talk a little bit later on. The Titans, you're aware of the Gold Coast Titans. Have you seen what they're doing today?
No.
Every
Is
one of their
Mal with them?
Yes. Well, he may have been part of this big Malcolm Meninga, but every one of their 31 contracted players have to go and work all this week, are working as real people. Labourers, bricklayers. But three of them are working at Hoppy's Car Wash down the coast.
They are. I wonder where Johnsy was this morning.
Is that hard work?
I was going to say, you're joking. We didn't get an offer to take a couple of them on board, but we have, eh?
Yeah, you got three of them, including their captain, Ryan James.
Well, it's really hard work, depending where we put them. So if they're in wash bay or prep, where they prep the car, it's hard. And I did it for 4 hours one day. And I was praying that another car wouldn't turn up. And I was the owner. Imagine how our staff feel.
Well, if you're heading to the Gold Coast today, go get your car washed by Ryan James at Hoppy's Hand Wash Cafe. Good on you, Ian Healy. We'll catch up
soon.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, fellas.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Thanks,
okay, can we get a ruling on this, fellas? It's a brand new ad that we're going into the Christmas break because of drink driving statistics are so bad in this country.
Are they?
And this time, yes.
Are you sure?
Yes. Oh, don't make me Google that too.
Sorry. I thought we'd really improve. We used to be bad.
Well, we're not great. Anyway, there's a new ad.
Who still drinks straws?
Okay, I will Google it. Just let me get to the ad.
Yeah. I've got to remember to do this fact-checking before the show, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
But I thought we'd improve.
Well, there's a brand new ad that's trying to use humour about having designated drivers. And one of the things that they're suggesting is that we get our P-plating children to become our designated drivers. This was how it was reported on 7 News last night, starting with the ad.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
A serenade hailing designated drivers as Lyft legends.
You're old enough to have a licence. You're old enough to take responsibility for other people in your car and in your community.
So what do we think about that, having our P-platers come and pick
It'll
us up?
Work once. As soon as you start as an adult singing in the back of your kid's car, they will never, ever pick you up again.
You're absolutely right, Marto. Yeah. And can you imagine the rate at which you would deliver dad jokes if you're at the end of a big night? It's going to become utterly unbearable. And you know what, though? It's a great anti-drinking campaign if you flip it around the other way.
Oh, yeah.
A sober young fella or young girl sees mum and dad blind,
hold on, what they're going to think,
am I really going to end up like that?
Hey, Lee, mate, the first view that goes out the window.
Hang on, I've got to try.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Whether it's redemption or revenge or whatever, after what happened last year in Newcastle, finally Scotty McLaughlin got up yesterday.
Yes! Can you believe it?
Oh, my God, I just... Guys, we worked so hard. Look, I have to pay respects to Shane. We raced hard all year and it's a hell of a battle, but oh man.
And if you're going, who did McLaughlin drive for? Well, he drove for DJR, which stands for Dick Johnson Racing, and he's with us now. He must be the happiest man on earth. Is that right, Dick?
Yeah, mate. Actually, and I'm feeling half all right, to be quite honest.
Oh, really?
As in not too dusty?
Try hard enough, Dick.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I think I was just emotionally drained over the weekend. It just really took its toll.
Dick, can you tell everyone your relationship with Penske? And he even said that, was he there yesterday? I think I saw him in all the pictures.
Yes, he was.
He's probably the greatest name in motor racing in the world, and he said it's one of the greatest days of my life. Did he keep saying that to you?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, with somebody who's achieved so much as Roger has in motorsport, all over the world, to come here to Australia, where he said this is the toughest competition he's ever had to deal with, and to come out and win a championship really, really means so, so much to him and the Penske organisation.
And so, Dick, where does it rate for you? I mean, it's obviously massive for him, but what about for you personally?
Look, you know, we're fortunate enough now because it sort of brought back enormous memories of the Lakeside race in 1981 when Brock and I raced for the championship. We were separated by 1 point on the last race. So, boy, it was just one of those things. And your first one is one you'll never, ever forget. It's very, very special indeed. And like as I said, like Roger was so pleased that he got one more thing on his bucket list and as far as our team's concerned, and that's Bathurst.
Oh, okay. Well, that's next year. But Scott's like, he's a young fella. He's only 25. I mean, he could become one of the greats.
Well, I hope so, because I think this is one championship that his first one that he's won, but certainly I believe there's every chance in the world that it'll be one of many. But bear in mind that with the Penske organisation, what they have overseas, you never know where he could end up.
Well, he's the future, Dick. You were almost on the bones of your ass a few years ago when Roger Penske came in and gave you the financial help. You're now the champion. Is there any? Do you walk away now? Is this the fairy tale? What are you going to do?
Well, no, not really. What am I going to do? Like,
go again,
mate. I haven't got a vegetable garden. I don't need that sort of
So you'll be bigger and better in 2019. And and as you say, Dick, you're in very good shape this morning. How did your boy Scotty celebrate last night?
I think, I don't know, I haven't seen him this morning, but let me tell you, when we left the venue, he was not looking too flash.
Hey, Dick, remember when he had his first win? I think it was in a Volvo a few years ago. He there was a bit of swearing and stuff. I see yesterday he was very good. He said, holy guacamole and holy hell and all the rest of it. Is that coached by you? Are you his media manager?
Well, pretty much. Like, he's a very mature guy now. And as I say, you know, as you grow older, you get smarter and you learn a lot. And I think probably one of the best performances he did was in New Zealand, you know, both on and off the track. He handled himself extremely well, and I think that's just what the young guy's all about. He really is a complete package.
All right, DJR, Team Penske, and Scott McLaughlin, Supercars champions for 2018. Yeah, well, congratulations, Dick.
I couldn't tell you how I feel. It's just unreal.
So Marto's already calling them a scourge on society.
A pox.
It's just a brand new thing that's just come to our fair city.
But Lee, mate, just so you know, I ride a pushy to work every day and home. And on the way home, I'll often go along the river bike pass and stuff. And you see these things everywhere.
Okay. They are called Lime Scooters. And this is the story so far.
500 of them hit Brisbane's streets 10 days ago. An Australian first trial that's getting traction.
They're super fun.
But some are hanging helmets back up.
They all out of batteries and not fully charged.
When I found one, it was a race between me and the other fellow who was trying to get it. And when we both found it, it was dead.
Did they interview you, Marta?
I experienced them over the weekend.
They're everywhere.
I spent the weekend in the city with my husband, Sean. We spent 2 days staying in the city, and the Lime Scooters are literally everywhere.
They leave them everywhere. Let's go through the history of this. For everybody who doesn't come into the city very often, distributed at West End, at New Farm, and around Brisbane's inner city, are these banks of Lipton Ice. Well, they're sponsored by Lipton Ice, but they're bikes. They're city council bikes. And they said, no, we don't want these outside influencers. We'll run our own bike sharing program. And in the early days, it was sluggish. Now, a lot of people use these bikes, and they're quite well used. But now this Lime Scoot is like those mobs. Every time anyone from Brisbane goes to Sydney or Melbourne, all they do is see bikes in the Yarra River or in trees because you don't park them at designated parking places. You just throw them everywhere. You've seen all this, haven't you?
I have. In Melbourne, they were called O-bikes. They were these blue share bikes, O-bikes. And it just, initially, people thought, what a great idea. These free bikes, we get to ride them around the city. Melbourne likes to see itself as a very bike-friendly city. But with time, we learned that people can't be trusted with good things. So they ended up in the Yarra River. If you went fishing in the Yarra, you would catch a bike 9 times out of 10 ahead of a fish.
And up in trees, I used to see them.
They were up trees. There was one that was taped halfway up traffic lights. They
hilarious.
Were lined up on fences.
What is that?
There was at one point someone turned about 20 of them into an art installation in a suburb in Melbourne. But then what happened is there's now a Facebook page where people would post photos of where the O-bikes have been creatively left around town.
Melbourne.
So it's turned into entertainment.
Where is it now? Because a mate of mine, after he heard me talking about this, I said, people are just stopping them, just leaving in the middle of bike tracks.
Well, they run out of gas. This was the problem we had. We were keen to get on them, but they'd run out of charge.
It's charge. And I know a bloke sat in Doggett Street, which is that down between the valley and the city.
Yes,
the other,
it is.
He
yes,
said
it
he
is.
Was sitting there and he saw a person stop. They apparently take photos and you upload that onto some app, and that's how they know you've stopped riding. And they also will work out that's where the scooter has been left. A guy in a van came along 10 minutes later, picked it up, threw it in the back, and there were about 8 different things in there. So it's a very
labour intensive.
Yes, it's very inefficient, the whole system, that that bloke has to go around and pick up the scooters. And as of Friday, I got a text message, because you turn on your app, okay, your Lime Scooter app, and it shows you where Lime Scooters are positioned. And for the first time, there is one in the Brisbane River.
Yes!
There was one. It was still, the tracking device was still working, and it had just been thrown off one of the bridges.
Trust me, that is the first of many. You know that bloke in the van that goes and picks up the scooters?
Yeah.
Can that bloke just give me a lift to where I need to go?
Exactly.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
Now, guys, at the SCG last night, nearly 40,000 people were there for the T20 International between India and Australia. Mm. Actually a record crowd for the SCG
Is that right?
A T20 International, yes. But as Claire pointed out in news just a moment ago, mostly Indian fans in the crowd cheering their team on to win. But I'll tell you what I noticed in the crowd last night. I have never seen so many babies being held up by fans in the crowd. Babies being held aloft and shaken around like pom-poms as the boundaries
because you can't
were
clap
flowing
your hands if you've got a baby, you can't clap.
No, that's
true. Well, you can put a Bjorn, you know, like baby Bjorn thing on and hold them close to your chest.
Are they
and jump
popular
up and
with
down.
The Indians?
Well, I didn't see any, so perhaps not.
They're not so really papoose people, are they?
No.
They're not papoose.
It's mostly papoose-free India. But I noticed a lot of people holding babies and young children up to maybe the age of 3 or 4 being held aloft and sort of waved.
Celebratory babies.
And say it.
Celebratory babies being thrown up in the air.
Say what you want to say.
Well, what I'm saying is that acceptable behaviour to be taking babies to sporting events? You see them at concerts as well. I remember seeing a baby at Bruce Springsteen thinking, why are you doing this to yourself and why are you doing it to the kid?
They think it's important to tell the kids because I, at the footy one day, it was a test match at Suncorp. So there were 50-something thousand people there and a mate of mine said, oh, look, I got Jasper or whatever his name was. He's 4 months old. I said, why? Oh, because it's his first day at the footy, first game of footy he ever saw. Look, the Wallabies are playing the All Blacks or something. I want Jasper to be able to say, no, Jasper doesn't care.
Well, Jasper's dad will constantly remind him that the first game he went to. See, I know a lot of mums who take their children. Say Bruce Springsteen, for example, both the parents want to go, so no one's going to do the babysitting. So how are you going to do that? Often with really small babies, particularly if it's your first.
Do you pay for a ticket?
No.
You don't. Baby gets in free, right?
But if it's your first, a lot of mums and dads won't leave their children with other people. If they're breastfeeding, then you can just whip out a boob and feed, and no one can tell. Like, there's a number of reasons why people would take a baby to an event.
I used to see them at BO Supercars, and they'd have little headphones for their baby.
Did you see the baby at my wedding? She had little headphones on.
Did you? You were up the front at the wedding. I was at the back near where the baby was crying a lot.
Yeah, well, and they took her out, and then they put her in the little caboose, and off they went.
But wouldn't they have had a better time?
Well, who's going to look after it?
Just get a babysitter. They're around everywhere.
I went and saw ACDC recently, and I saw a lot of fans whipping out boobs, although I didn't see a baby attached to any of them.
Let's crack this can open, shall we?
Yes.
You can't take a baby to a major event.
It's a complete waste of time and money.
Joanne of Carindale, what do you reckon about this? Can you take a baby to a big sporting event?
Yeah, absolutely take a baby to a sporting event. Well, we were lucky enough to get tickets to see Kathy Freeman win her gold medal at the Sydney Olympics, and my son was 11 weeks old, and it was... I have no regrets whatsoever.
At his 18th recently, at his 18th birthday party in the last few months, did he mention that Kathy's run over the 400 metres in his speech at any stage?
Absolutely. Did he? Not at all. We do remind him all the time that he was there and saw an amazing event.
Joanne, I did exactly the same thing. My son was 9 months old and we drove down to Sydney to go to the 2000 Olympics and took him to the athletics.
No regrets whatsoever.
Yeah, pair of losers.
My life anyway. Not sure it was a highlight of his life, but it was.
Yeah, we loved it, didn't we, Joanne? We're all good.
Yeah, that's right. He turned out perfect.
Joanne, when Kathy Freeman crossed the finish line, did you throw the little fella in the air to celebrate?
What? If he wasn't in a pouch, I think I might have.
Catch the baby.
Stay.
Stephen of Loganholm.
No.
Thank you.
No. You're being inconsiderate.
You're
being rude to the other patrons.
That's true.
Who wants to listen to somebody else's breath scream?
Okay, they don't.
That is
often
a great
scream.
Call. They do so often
they
scream.
Don't.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. You're locked in for a vote.
I'd much rather listen to screaming opposition fans than a screaming baby.
Yeah, you don't want to. That's why you go to the footy, to get away from problems of the normal world. It's escapism. Like, go to the movie. Do you take them to the movie?
Yeah, there is baby movies.
Oh God.
Mother in Arms.
Don't book that session.
Stephen Eagleby, what do you reckon about taking young children to concerts and sporting events?
Concerts, no, but I don't see the harm in taking the kids to the footy. As a family, we had Broncos membership there for a couple of years, and my young fella was only one, and he used to see his sisters getting all dressed up in their Broncos gear and the face paint, and he used to want to join in as well. So it was a good family time.
Did he get involved in the games, Steve?
He used to wander down to the fence and with his sisters and yell and scream and whatnot, but that's about as far as it went.
So all the family still brainwashed? They all still love going to the Bronx?
Well, we don't go there much these days because I normally start work at about 2 o'clock in the morning, so
But will they, you reckon, what the guidance and the pushing you've taken with the Broncos since they're little kids, will they go on their own when they get old enough, you reckon?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that, you know, they sort of continue on the culture and go and see the live sporting events, because if people don't take their kids now, then, you know, into the future, then the crowds are going to be empty.
But this morning we're just talking about little babies.
Yeah, you start the culture when they're, you know, from before they can remember. Knew they went to a game.
Well, I'm very sorry, Limo, but 66% of our callers saying it is okay to take your kids to sporting events.
Yay.
Right. And it's okay to throw them in the air?
Double as
and celebrate?
They double as a beach ball. So just send them around the ground.
How much chips cost. How much does baby food cost at the footy?
Oh,
Lord.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Let's talk about petrol prices, because currently in Brisbane, they're at a good low. I know I filled up on Stewart's Road at Enoggera, the Puma there, for $1.19. That's the lowest it's been for
all those
really
surveys along Wardell
long
Street are $1.19.
Now, how high has it been? I reckon we've got up to about $1.69.
Don't forget, half the people driving in right now are on diesel, and that's up $1.60. So you're doing well if you've got a petrol car.
Well, I'm just saying, we may never need to get to $2 something, because when petrol prices go that high. This is what happened in Paris, France.
More than 3,000 police have flooded the streets of Paris, clashing with protesters during violent riots along the famous Champs-Élysées. Tear gas and water cannons were used to subdue demonstrators who are protesting against rising petrol prices.
Do you see what they were using as some of their weapons? They were using rocks and fireworks. They were able to get their hands on fireworks. They were using skyrockets aimed at the cops. It was nasty.
I know.
You know what? If you trim your skyrockets budget and spend that money on fuel, you may not have the same problem.
My kids have fairly active weekends. They go out and see their mates. They go and play football. Limo, you don't know. I have three sons. They're 14, 16 and 18 and completely obsessed and addicted to football, as in soccer. Okay.
That's as many, many kids are these days.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, very popular.
Yeah. So they play it. They play it a lot during soccer season. I usually have about 22 sessions a week, and then when they're not playing it physically, they're playing it on FIFA. So when it, and they watch it.
And
so
then they watch EPL as well.
Yeah, they'll set their alarms for 2 o'clock in the morning to get up and watch Man City take on Liverpool. Blah 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 blah. Anyway, I get a text message about 6 o'clock last night from our wonderful assistant producer Jack, who is a bit of a gambler. He
likes
a
punt.
Whoa. He's not a gambler. He likes.
I don't know.
Punt.
What,
enjoys
what do you
the
say?
Thrill of the punt.
What do you? Yeah, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on him. I'm just trying to set him up.
It's not an intervention, Jack. Relax. It's not an intervention.
He's still living with his mum and dad. Okay. Let's remember that.
Maybe okay,
there'll be an intervention over that.
Yeah. Anyway, so
he's 47.
So he is not. Leave him alone. Our Jacko's great. Okay, so I get this this photo from his phone about cash out and some sort of thing to do with, I don't understand punting at all, clearly. And the message reads,
hold on, if I know Jack, he would have been running a multi all weekend. He runs the big multis. He runs 15 leg multis and stuff. And if he wins, he can win an incredible amount of money. And he usually only puts $5 on.
Right. Well, he started, this is right. He started with $5. And the message reads,
this is classic Jack.
He goes, I need the advice of your soccer fanatic sons. Do I take $970? Remember, he started with five.
Yeah.
Or roll the dice on Arsenal and Wolverhampton for 13K.
Exotic.
So he would have won 13,000 if he picked the right winner for that soccer game.
Well, no, they weren't playing each other. Arsenal was playing, I think, Chelsea. Oh, God, why do I know that?
So, Robin, just to pare back the details here, Jack has gone to a 14-year-old for gambling advice. Am
That's
I right?
That is correct.
Yeah, but he also knows that my kids really follow the football because they're passionate about it and wouldn't know anything about the gambling side of it, so therefore are not emotionally attuned to the money. They're just interested in the win.
Right. So if one of them winds up with a gambling problem, can we trace it back to this
Jack.
Moment? To Jack.
We can. Anyway, their advice read, my 14-year-old says Arsenal will win that game against Chelsea. They're playing super well. And then my 16-year-old said, if you're betting on Wolverhampton, get out and take the cash.
Oh, okay. Well, Chelsea did get beaten. Was it by Arsenal?
Yes.
Or
yes, the Gunners won.
Yeah. Well, and Chelsea definitely lost their first game of the season.
And Wolverhampton lost.
Yes.
Which was good.
Which is most weeks. They gave him the right advice to save him from losing, what was it, he won 1,000 in the end.
Well, he won $1,700.
And cashed out.
Wow. And cashed out.
That's good.
You know, I got the same message, Robin.
Did you?
Yes, indeed. I said, write it, baby. Go for that 13K.
Oh,
so he's taking the advice. He's taking the advice of a 14-year-old over me.
Well, he took the right advice.
Anyway, let's just talk to Gabby of Hamilton. Have you had a massive win?
Not me, my husband. A couple of Christmases ago, he got a bonus bet from obviously one of the betting companies. Mm. And with their rules, you have to turn over what the bonus bet is. And so we won with the bonus bet, and then we got to turn over the other winnings. And we just keep winning, and then we ended up with just over $2,000, like $2,600.
What was it on the right, on the horses?
Yeah, it was from, definitely the horses we loved. And I think the dogs as well, we were watching the dogs. And then just this weekend, my husband put on a box first four, and we won that, so that was just under $2,000 again.
Gabby, you need to make sure this serves as a lesson to everyone. So you enjoy gambling with him?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a racehorse, so we love watching them. And
that's pretty cute.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
I just feel really responsible to say you have had losses, have you not, Gabby?
Yeah, we have. But if you just think about it, like when we look at how much he actually, like, he's the main one that does it. But we've definitely won more than we've lost over the last two, 3 years.
So. That's not the lesson Robin was trying to convey here.
Do you reckon Gabby gets told everything?
No.
Maybe not.
Unless there's a shared account. She might be on top of it. Craig of Glasshouse Mountain.
Her husband's got another account.
Morning, Craig.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Come on, tell us.
Good story?
Yeah, good story. Last year on the Melbourne Cup, you know, I was nagging my mate to take me to the TAB. He said, I'll show you how to open up a William Hill account. So I put $40 in there.
Yeah.
Just put my mystery trifectas on, and for $3, I won $9,075.
Okay, well, that's a good example for Robin's children.
Have you lost it all, Craig?
No, it was a good win. It was pure luck. I got them in order, so.
Craig, how much is in your account now?
Mate, $9,075.
Oh, dear.
This is starting to sound like a live read for betting apps, guys.
It's not. Absolutely not.
Responsibly. Craig did say it was pure luck.
Pure luck, people. They lose far more than they win.
Plus, you only heard two calls there. We didn't get many calls. 1-3-5-3. So that should give you an indication. Big breakfast. Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.